flavour.
This is Cambridge Radio.
I'm going to read you the menu. It's fantastic.
So we get better flavour because of the fen soil.
I've drunk more beer since I came here and bought my two barrels than I've ever done in my life before, I think.
I shouldn't have said almonds. They don't make it from almonds.
So you've got this big sticky mess when you start off.
Pizza pot pies.
My wife's cakes are selling up hot cakes. Brilliant, thank you.
The time is right for this sort of thing.
Food is everything.
Cambridge is right for this sort of thing.
What's it like? Cambridge.
Good afternoon and welcome to Flavour, bringing you an hour of local food and drink news and stories. And we are feeling even more cheerful than usual today, having won the Food and Drink Hero Award at the Velvet Magazine's Food and Drink Awards 2025.
Yeah, we are delighted to have won. So thank you to those who nominated us for the award and to everyone at Velvet who made the ceremony go so well. And also to all the people who commented afterwards, both on Instagram and personally. So yeah, thanks very much.
And for the goodie bag as
oh,
well.
Oh, yes, the goodie bag, yeah.
Well, we've no Sue Bailey today, but we do have our regular features. Free food in Cambridge, local food and drink news, social media updates, and at the end of the programme, our jobs roundup.
And I speak to Lee Clark, who's head chef at Parker's Tavern. He'll be telling us about his approach to cooking there, what he learned from working with Albert Roux, and what his favourite dish of all time is.
And I discover My Private Kitchen, which is run by a lady from her Cambridge home who used to run a restaurant in northern China.
And I eat the best lemon tart I have ever tasted.
Oh, suit you, sir.
And that's where we'll start. One of the reasons we cover independence in flavour is that they really care about what they sell, about the quality. And not everyone gets it right every time, but it is the driving force for most of them. And one place where that is especially evident is Frederick's on the River, where owner Frederick really is very thorough in his search for the best quality. Frederick's on the River is just over Magdalen Bridge at the beginning of Magdalen Street if you're heading away from the city centre. And Fred sells a variety of foods to take away, ranging from jars of chickpeas to fresh fruits like cherries and wonderful tarts and cakes. And you can have coffee there too, and lunches. I asked Fred about what he sells and also his exciting plans for the future. I'm sitting here at Frederick's by the River with some lovely food in front of me. We've got peas in pods, we've got some wonderful looking apricots, some lemons from Amalfi. It strikes me that you look and find good produce.
Yes, I believe in quality, so I'm looking for produce that are in season, coming from places where they are naturally grown and they taste good and look good.
Now, Fred just given me a lemon tart, and it's the best lemon tart I've ever had. A lot of lemon tarts are just a bit too sweet and they don't have enough sort of the essence of lemon in them, but these are superb. Fred, how did you find these?
by trying. We sample lots of those tarts, and actually the lemon one was the best.
I've eaten a lot of lemon tarts and I'm always disappointed, but today...
No, for me, yes, the same. The texture, the acidity was not too sweet. It was just, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
what you the acidity, want from, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, the acidity.
It's not masked by too much sugar. And this chocolate cake is so chocolatey.
Again, I was trying to find something that was a bit gluten-free, so this is a flourless chocolate
gluten-free?
Cake.
Yeah.
And I tried the polenta cake, polenta and orange. It was good, and then I keep trying other things, and then the chocolate one was just amazing. So
it is
very rich, deep, and true.
Yeah. What superb food. Well, I mean, I can see behind you there's all sorts of other products, sort of like biscuits and things like that. But do you still have cheeses, hams, that sort of thing?
Yes. Cheese, I was very fond of finding cheese in England, English made cheeses. Being French, I have a good knowledge of cheese in general, and when I came to England, I there's this new movement of craft cheese, and I really wanted to know more about it. So I worked with this distributor, Nilsia Dairy, and they're really good into finding local cheese from different era of England and Wales.
Nilsia Dairy.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they're a sort of real leader in cheese,
yes,
aren't they? Yeah.
So I learn a lot from them.
Yeah.
And I rediscover a pleasure of.
Okay. And are there any products which are particularly popular with your customers, would you say?
Where I am now, it's the punting. So I'm trying to get things that will be easy to get into a basket.
Right, so people can eat it on their
punts. Yes, and that is very popular, and that works well. So it makes me think of also snacks and things to grab and to eat and easy to enjoy.
Yeah, and you've been working with Clandestine Kitchen as well. What's Alexa been doing?
We are together developing this new offer. So it's going to start with sandwiches, and bagels, and then we're going to move on salads, and then fruit salad probably, and some kind of dessert, and yeah.
Oh, right, so you're expanding what you do then in terms of food to take away.
So
or to eat in, because I see you've got tables in here. So people can actually eat in here as well.
So, with Alexa, we're going to do takeaway food, but people are welcome to take their food and sit and enjoy that either outside or here.
Yeah. So in your prepared food, the things you're assembling are the things that you also just sell separate?
Yes. So people have a choice either to take it raw as it is or to have me to... think of something with Alexa
to make the most of it.
The total become more than just the sum of the parts.
Yeah, brilliant. That's fantastic. So you're doing things like coffees, are you?
Coffees, we're going to do tea. My dream would be to do cocktails too, or mocktail, like a juice bar. In winter, we're going to do raclette and soup.
Ah, right. And you've got wines, and you've got a background in wine.
Yes, I do. I when I moved to London, I worked in a wine shop, and I learned more about... in France, we have lots of wine, but we mainly have French wines because we can cover anything. So I didn't know much about Spanish or Italian. So working in London, I had to expand my knowledge, and now I'm much more confident with wine from
a variety of countries.
Yes.
Okay, but you will have French wines here, which presumably
mainly because that's the one that I know best. But I will do natural wine. I really believe into this natural wine movement, where the idea is to have low intervention wine.
And can people drink wine here, or do they have to take a bottle away?
There is going to be more takeaway, so to take the bottle away. But my plan also in the evening, we will do, we will close the shop and open a wine, by the glass or with a food offer.
Right, so
like
that's
more tapas style with Alexa. She wants to do that on Wednesday, and then carry on Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
With Alexa from Clandestine Kitchen.
Yes.
Yeah. Right, and is that actually happening, or is that...
No,
is
it's the plan.
It's the plan. when would you like it to start?
In September, October.
And for people who would like popping in for a coffee, do you have things like croissants?
So we do croissants on Saturday and Sundays. During the week, I have some tartelettes, or I have some financière madeleine. So we did this combo where you buy a coffee and a madeleine and you have a reduced price.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah.
So it's not a big thing, but it's a nice thing to have.
Yeah. Absolutely. Out of interest, where do you get your croissants from? Because they vary so much in quality.
So it's been a challenge to find a good bakery in Cambridge. I tried many. Some of them just shut down. Others decided to stop the wholesale. I find out about this bakery in London, their route, and now I have sourdough bread with them. I do some pastries and like little cakes and tartelettes, and they have mini éclair,
really?
Chocolate
right.
éclair that are really nice.
Yeah, I think a lot of croissants that you buy in this country, they don't have enough butter in it.
Yeah, true. But we in France, we have bad croissants as well. I mean, you have to be picky. you have to find the right place, but then, yeah, you do find them. And in England, it's the same, I think, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, I don't feel I've asked you enough about what you sell. We've talked about croissants, we've talked about cheese, we've talked about ham, we've talked about biscuits and wine and coffee. But what else have you got?
I really believe in fermented food, so I have kimchi, kefir also, drinks. Kombucha. Yeah.
Right, so you've been going 3 years, and it sounds like you've got an exciting future, Fred, with your developments, with food in the evenings, with possibly with cocktails, and expanding your offer for people, particularly for people on punts, but also people can come in and have coffee, have a Madeleine or a croissant at weekends. So the future looks good, or looks interesting anyway.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting to come here to do something and to realise that you have to kind of evolve and change, but it's in a very positive way.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Well, thanks very much for your time, Fred. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, so Frederick's-on-the-River is an exciting and interesting place, and the lemon tart and the chocolate cake were fantastic.
But didn't you have a croissant as well?
No, I was there on Tuesday, so they didn't have any, but I will go at the weekend, well, one weekend and try them. I haven't tried everyone's croissants in Cambridge, so I don't want to be disparaging, but generally I find they're not buttery enough, or they've lost their crispness through sitting around too long, or, I don't know, being delivered in plastic wrapping, which makes the outside soft. But, you know, I'm very keen to find out what Frederick's on the Rivers tastes like. And in today's Feast, by the way, Feast magazine that comes with The Guardian, Felicity Cloke is reviewing supermarket croissants. So if we have the newspaper review later on, we'll reveal what she says about supermarket croissants.
Mm. So I guess not being buttery enough or getting crusty, that's not a unique thing to Cambridge, is it?
No, when I am in London, one of my daughters, I sometimes have one at a local cafe, which is made by a very well-respected independent London bakery. And maybe when they're just out of the oven, they're good. But by the time I get one, you know, they're not. The best croissants I've had in England are from the Baltic Bakehouse in Liverpool. But sadly, that closed down a couple of weeks ago. And now details of free food, available in and around Cambridge. And the information about what's available and where to get it comes from the Olio app. And that exists so that people's or businesses' surplus food doesn't go to waste.
That's right. And today's look at Olio for Cambridge shows us that NG, who lives near the Light Cinema on Hills Road, is giving away a packet of Chinese bamboo snack chips. Now, going by the photo, the packet is the size of, say, a packet of crisps. The bag is see-through. I think these are made from shredded bamboo leaves. They're sort of skin-coloured. Perhaps more likely, they're made from peeled bamboo shoots when I compared the image online. Anyway, that's Chinese bamboo snack chips. I don't think they've ever appeared before.
I've never. You ought to get them, Matt. And we, I wonder if they'd deliver them to the studio and we could try them out on air.
That would be nice. Well, next up is Andrew off Coleridge Road. He pops up a lot on Olio, as I've started to follow Olio's activity throughout the week more closely. He regularly picks up bakery goods, for instance. And today, Andrew has got 2 rice sourdough loaves, iced donuts, crusty rolls and 3 walnut paves. I hope I'm saying that right. Walnut paves, they're chunky, hearty walnut breads. The perfect loaf for a ploughman's lunch, apparently.
Right.
Mm. And finally, we've got Trish on Sturton Street, who's been offering a 1-litre bottle of Indian tonic water for the last 3 weeks. It's unopened, it expires next January, and if you don't want to use it for mixing cocktails, you can use tonic water to, say, boost plant health, because the added minerals and sugars in the tonic is good for them. Tonic water is also good for cleaning glass, getting rid of carpet stains, and loosening rusty nuts and bolts. So, you know, there you go. Plenty of uses for tonic water other than just cocktails. But that concludes our look at free food available on the Olio app for Saturday.
Well, I think chilled tonic water on a hot day is really refreshing, actually. It's my sort of go-to drink on very hot days.
Oh, you like the taste of tonic water. Some people can't bear it.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, there's another app, called Too Good To Go, which has unsold food from restaurants, cafes and shops, often at less than half price. The surplus food is put into a magic bag, ready for you to take home, and that's to prevent it being binned at the end of the day's trading. And some of the companies that have used it recently in Cambridge include Greggs in Cherry Hinton Road and by the station, Pret in Market Street, the Norfolk Street Bakery in Station Road, Dulcis in Rose Crescent, the Clayton Hotel, the Ibis Hotel, Pizza Express, lots and lots of them.
Mm. OK, let's move on to our first news break now for Saturday, the 28th of June. And we begin with Heath Fruit Farm. They've got cherries and apricots on sale at the kiosk in Bluntisham, which is open from 9 to 5 on weekdays. It's outside the fruit farm. A punnet of cherries, 450 grams, costs £4.50, whilst a punnet of apricots, which weighs in at 500 grams, costs £3. And you can pay by cash, you'll need the exact amount, or via the QR code that's there.
And Bushel Box Farm Shop in Willingham is also selling apricots from its own trees.
Farmers markets coming up are on the 5th of July, Linton. 12th and 26th of July is the Ely Farmers Market, which runs from 8:30 to 2:30. On the 19th of July, it's Histon Market. On the 27th of July, it's Grandsdon's. And there is a small market by Cambridge Station on Friday lunchtimes. Sweet Pea Market Garden sells produce at all of these, except for Ely. And there's a food and craft market at the Hawkston Centre on the 20th of July. That's from 10 till 2.
Briar Farm, who we featured on Flavour on the 3rd of May and is available on podcast, is doing a mixed veg box for £15. Which includes a lot of salad items, and is selling a whole variety of fresh produce separately as well. You can contact them via their Instagram account, and they also have a work party tomorrow, that's Sunday, from 9 o'clock until 1 o'clock, and contact them if you would like to take part. It's an inspiring place, Briar Farm.
Daily Bread off King's Hedges Road is still hoping to raise the £20,000 it needs. They've been hit by a downturn in customers since COVID restrictions led people to change their shopping habits. Now, if you don't know, Daily Bread is it's like a warehouse-sized shop selling not only vegan and vegetarian foods, it includes fruit and veg from Cambridge Organics, and bread, whole foods, and also household cleaning products, and plant seeds, even toothpaste. Daily Bread is an ethical supermarket.
Yes, it is really. And you can support them by obviously buying from them. They're just off King's Hedges Road, as we said. You can order online and it will be delivered to you by bike if you live up to 10 kilometres away. Or you can go there yourself to shop. And they have a cafe as well. Or letting others know about it. And you can also, or instead, make a donation using GoFundMe and typing in Daily Bread, and you'll know you're on the right place because you'll see a photo of the inside of the shop. Anyway, you can contribute there. And that's all the news for now. More later.
Now, the other week, I met with a Chinese lady called Kat Insana. She comes from the Shandong province, described often as the birthplace of the dumpling. She runs a home cooking business called My Private Kitchen, and she makes a lot of dumplings. So, here is Kat and her Italian husband, Giuseppe.
We met in a restaurant that was an Italian pizzeria in China. Then we opened a restaurant, just me and her. Dishes from Italy, France, Spain, Lebanon, all around the Mediterranean.
This was still in China?
That was still in China. Yes. Like Napoli is to pizza, Shandong is to dumplings.
And of course, that's a lot of what makes up your menu.
Yes.
You both have had restaurants in the past and you've had a restaurant together.
Yes.
Did you ever think of wanting to open a restaurant in Cambridge?
Knowing how hard it is to have a restaurant, I would say no. I mean, first of all, this business is Kat's idea. She created the menu and everything. I think it's good to start small anyway.
Some people ask me, are you going to open a restaurant? I said, by myself? Are you crazy?
And a restaurant is a bigger enterprise, but it means you have to involve other people.
Mm-hmm.
For Kat, her focus is really on cooking. So I think this home cooking enterprise is actually the best platform to really concentrate on what she actually wants to do.
Because if you have a restaurant, your cook is going to be different than now.
Yeah.
It will be really like a factory. Mm. The taste and the quality and is not going to be the same.
No compromise.
I just want to keep the taste. I mean, it's not about to make money or to make it big. It's just
make it good.
I like to cook in this kitchen. I mean, I cook my home. It's nice. It's very comfortable, you know. And you really feel like you're cooking for the family.
Yeah.
To me, that's the best part. Every time my friend keep asking me, are you happy? I say, yeah, I'm very happy.
And that's one of the secrets why the food is so good. It has a secret sauce.
Yeah, it has a secret sauce. Oh, my God.
Cooking with love.
Cooking with love.
Kat loves to cook, so I'm going to reel off the names of some of her dishes to some traditional Shandong Zheng music that apparently unifies the universe. So, we have gluten-free eggplant meat tempura, dumplings cornbread, vegetarian as well as meaty Xiaolong Bao, homemade chili oils, fried radish vegetarian balls, vegan Zhang Bing, sweet red bean cinnamon buns, coriander or dill pockets, chicken dumplings, lamb dumplings, both gluten-free, snowflake dumplings, prawn pork dumplings, old traditional Chinese chong yu bing, sweet stuffed red bean pork beef or lamb pies, even with halal meat, and steamed manto.
What's the special about my dumplings?
They are really original. They are really good.
And they're large.
They're large, they're tasty, they're juicy inside.
The other thing is the skin. It's very thin and it's fresh. You order, I make. In fact, one of the customers, she ordered dumplings. She said, I want to try your food. I said, okay. She tried the one-time dumplings and she wrote to me the same evening. She said, Kat, it is very good. It surprised me because all these years, all the dumplings I had, the skin are very thick. Mm. So for her, the Chinese dumpling skin are like that, because she never knew otherwise. Mm. So finally, she tried mine. She was kind of shocked.
I think that is a great reason to suggest dumplings, not only because it's really her forte, but also because it's going to be an eye-opener for people to realize what are real dumplings, not what they're used to.
Then they are vegetarian people. They order kind of regularly every week. So I said, what's the difference with my vegetarian dumplings and the vegetarian you had before? She said, when we buy somewhere else, inside the filling, you cannot see what's them.
Like a paste.
She said, yours, when we bite, you can see exactly this orange one is carrot, the red one is pepper, the green one is a bean.
Yeah.
Then there's a mushroom, there's a tofu. That's why she said, we like your vegetarian dumplings. Now I know, because they use a machine, they mess the vegetable very, very thin, they mix it with the starch. Otherwise, it's very hard to make.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, I'm going to keep my way there.
There are so many customers you made extremely happy, especially the people who never had dumplings before because they are celiac, and finally they can have gluten-free dumplings. I mean,
there's another one. He's Irish. He said, I never had Chinese food before, and he's vegetarian. So he tried the dumplings, he tried the bao, and 1 week later, he ordered again.
The Irishman, your other customers, how did they find out about you?
Either on Google, Google Map, the next door, or by a friend. They tell each other.
Word of mouth.
Many of the customers is because they join the group.
This is the WhatsApp group.
Yeah? Yes, yes. Yeah.
You mentioned that you make halal lamb pie.
Yes.
And you use the meat you buy from Mill Road Butchers.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, halal, it's so expensive. I mean, the food he ordered, it's really very similar to the food that we cook at home.
Mm.
It's this light fried food. The pie and the other one is very, very traditional, which I'm sure half of China, they don't know, is an oven-baked bao. He said, yeah, even the shape is exactly look like his mom made at home in Kazakhstan. He wrote on Google. He wrote a list about a book.
He was impressed. He said he basically got back the flavors from his childhood thanks to this.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, he sent the photo to his mom, he sent the photo to his brother, to his friend. Then he wrote a long review on Google. I said, oh my God. The girl, she come, she eat here.
She almost comes every
day. It's like her home. What do you have today? I tell her, okay, I want to go try them. I already prepared the dish, glass, and the chopstick. She said, my mom wouldn't even do this to me. I said, oh, really? I said, because I worked in a restaurant so many years, this has become a habit. And she even brought her boyfriend, who is a vegan.
Yeah.
He said, for the past 2 years, each time he come to Cambridge, he never felt full. He said, every time we go out to eat, there are very little choice for vegan people. Not only they're expensive, the dishes are small.
And they're not good.
They're not good.
And that actually is a key thing in China. When people meet each other, they ask each other, chibar meal, which literally translates, have you eaten your fill? So it's actually intrinsic to Chinese culture to eat full.
Do you remember David? He's a university student. He grew up here. His parents are Chinese. He ordered dumplings. And he left a comment. He said, this food reminds him home. Do you remember that? Yeah. He even wrote in Chinese.
But Kat, your determination to stick to the traditions.
I want to keep this way. I don't want to change. For example, we make big dumplings. It's homemade. So she suggested me, I make it smaller and I sell cheaper. I don't want to sell more. I want to sell as big as it is now and the taste.
Yeah, there are some compromises you just don't want to make.
No, I don't want to.
When we had a restaurant in China, so many customers want pizza Hawaii. Say no, that's not Italian.
He refused to put the pineapple on top.
I will never make a pizza Hawaii for you. Or customers asking, can I have some ketchup? I said, where do you want to put the ketchup? I want to put on pizza. No.
So
you ever eat my pizza like this, or you just get out of here?
He refused to. We so don't provide any ketchup.
There are many things in which there is a line you cannot cross. Otherwise, you're no more original. And we tried at that time to stay original, and she tries now the same thing to stay original. So.
Kat's customers really appreciate her keeping with tradition and being as original as possible. Like the large dumplings with the thin dough, I got to try some of the beef ones and they were very packed and incredibly succulent with gorgeous chili oil. Kat always does her best to capture the same taste as when she was living in China. And her food is available to take away or you can have it delivered. She's based just off Mill Road. And she takes all food orders through her WhatsApp group. And that's a group that you can join via the Nextdoor app. And that's where she regularly posts her WhatsApp group link. Nextdoor is like a local version of Facebook. She also caters for parties, birthdays, and church events as well. Just so you know.
Right. We're going to have a 2-minute break now, or slightly less than 2 minutes, which we'll spend gazing at our award from Velvet Magazine and possibly having a glass of water to celebrate. There's no alcohol allowed in the studio. Coming up in the second half of the programme, we have an interview with Lee Clark of Parker's Tavern, ideas for cooking with apricots, more news, including wine news and news from Love Cambridge, a social media update and our jobs roundup. So don't go away.
Cambridge Radio. Monday on Cambridge Radio. Rock of Ages explores music past and present. Paul Cristoforou plays tracks from local and international artists and welcomes guests from the Cambridge music scene.
In those days, not so many people played music. Nowadays, I think lots of young people play guitar and drums, and that's wonderful. In my day, it was just a few sort of spotty Herberts getting together, forming bands.
Rock of Ages with Paul Cristoforou, on air Monday at 9 and anytime at cambridge.radio. Want a podcast for your daily cycle?
Download the Radio Player app and search Cambridge Radio.
And welcome back to Flavour. Matt and I are fully hydrated now and raring to get going again.
Certainly are. And you've been talking to Lee Clark, the head chef at Parker's Tavern in the University Arms Hotel.
Yeah, we met on Tuesday and what a busy place the hotel is. I hadn't been there for a while. I'd also forgotten how elegant it is. We met in the Parker's Tavern restaurant where Lee has been head chef for just over a year. And the University Arms was judged Hotel of the Year in the Velvet Awards, and Lee was finalist for the Chef of the Year. Lee, you've been here for just over a year. Have you managed to sort of build on the reputation that was already here, do you think?
Yeah, I think we've definitely added to it. I think the GM, Philip, who's been here the whole time, he said, like, I think he says, my food style is grown-up Parker's food, if that makes sense.
Right. Is it? Well, is there anything on the menu at the moment that you're particularly proud of, would you say?
Yeah, I love the dry-aged crudy carver duck we do. We've got quite a unique way of doing it. So we take it at 12 days, and then we continue to dry it, and then we score the skin and blowtorch and cool it 3 times to get the fat render down really nice, and then we confit it when we cook it so that it's just beautiful and tender.
Yeah, confit duck is one of life's great pleasures, I think.
It is, very much so. Yeah.
And actually, talking about life's great pleasures, one of the, I suppose, big features of your first year has been the nose-to-tail dining. How did that go? Was it popular?
Well, I mean, it's exploded, to be fair. So on the first one, we did like 15, 20 covers, and I'll be honest, the staff really supported me. And by the venison one, we were doing 60 covers. So, you know, it went 20, 40, 60 really quickly. We've cut it back a bit because we want to make sure that we're giving the guests the experience that we want them to have. So now we sit around 40 mark, and they fill up really easily. We did goat last, and that did really, really well, which surprised me.
Yes, the goat. I'd forgotten about the goat. Yeah, that
was really good. And then the next one is like... we're going to miss this month because of obviously graduation, and then after that I'll be dry aged dairy cow, and there's a load of other ones coming up that'll be really good.
Oh right, so this one runs and runs then.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be an ongoing thing. The Christmas one will be interesting because that's a bird within a bird within a bird within a bird, which is a bit of a fun really, but yeah, it's just a bit of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And where have you worked before?
So I had my own restaurant in Peterborough called Prevost. We were lucky, we got 3 rosettes, Michelin guide, top 100 lists, all the kind of stuff that as a chef and our egos like, if that makes sense. And it was, you know, tasting menus and fine dining, which I really enjoyed. But I liked the idea of coming here for the challenge. You know, it does a lot of covers. And, you know, it's got a great atmosphere and it's got a very unique vibe, I think.
And it looks beautiful. It's an elegant place, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the owners have done an amazing job, you know, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, and you worked at the Haycock, didn't you?
Yeah, we moved Prevost to Haycock.
And that's a nice place as well.
Yeah, it's lovely. So we had our restaurant in Peterborough from 2015. And in 2020, we sold it to a guy called Steve Hussey, who owns the Haycock. And then we moved it to the Haycock.
And the Haycock, for people who don't know, is midway between Peterborough and Stamford, isn't it? So just off the A1.
Yeah, it's a 16th century coaching inn.
Yeah.
It's stunning, absolutely stunning. It really is.
So you've worked in some beautiful places.
Yeah.
And you've worked with some big name chefs as well.
Yeah, I've worked with Albert Roux, I've worked with Marco Pierre White, I've worked with Henry Harris. So yeah, I've been quite lucky. I've worked with some of the really good ones, to be fair.
Yeah. So what in particular did you learn from someone like Albert Roux?
Cream. He loved cream and butter, and that's probably stayed on me a little bit too much. Probably, I'm still a bit of a dinosaur when it comes to the use of cream and butter. I do love butter.
Well, there is a lot of flavour in butter.
There's a lot of flavour in butter, and then with. I just think it was being consistent and, you know, trying to get food out that is super tasty with big, bold flavours. And I think Marco was exactly the same. You know, get it hot, get it out, get it simple, cook it right. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. You know, I'm not a big fan of this whole, like, sort of food lukewarm kind of thing that seems to be quite trendy at the moment.
A bit like coffee, really, but yeah. And one of the, I think, frustrations of restaurants at the moment is getting staff. Are you having any...
Yeah, we're fully staffed, so we seem to pick up staff quite nicely. We have a nice relationship with bringing students from the college and stuff, and we generally bring commies in and then we work them up through the ranks.
Students from the college,
from Cambridge College, so yeah, and you know, we've done really well, to be fair. We seem to recruit. When I came here, we had a lot of people from all over, and we're getting more and more people now from Cambridge. I think that's to do with the relationship that we have with the city and how the kitchen's developed and become more organised and more streamlined. Right. So it's a nicer environment for people to learn and stuff now.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're learning a lot. Because yesterday you got two awards, didn't you? You got the University Arms as Hotel of the Year and you as finalist as Chef of the Year as well.
Yeah, which was really nice. It was a nice surprise. So, yeah, over the moon, you know. And it's all the hard work that the team puts in here, you know. Everybody works tirelessly to make sure that the guests get a really nice experience.
Yeah, and it's such a busy place.
Yeah, it is. That is the one part. It's crazy how busy we get.
Yeah. So, just thinking over your years of being a diner as opposed to a chef, is there any particular meal that stands out?
Yeah, actually. And it's one that's probably not obvious because they haven't got a star and I have no idea why they don't have a star. There's a little restaurant in Sheffield called Joro. And they do last time I went there, they had a dish of peas, sheep fat, mint, and some little like nuggets of sheep confit, sheep leg, and it was just, oh my god, it was just amazing. And I think because it looked so simple, and it had like a little sheep broth, like bone broth, but the flavours were just incredible. Yeah, absolutely insane. So yeah,
how good. And that's Juro, what, with a J or a
D? Yeah, with a J.
J-O-J-U-R-O.
It was really interesting, to be fair.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thanks very much for your time, Lee. Well done.
Brilliant.
For your awards.
No, thank you.
All right, well, it's good to know that the whole animal menus haven't gone away from Parker's Tavern. And that restaurant Lee mentioned there is Juro, J-O-R-O. It's just outside Sheffield in what was a 19th century paper mill.
OK, time for some more news now. And Finboys in Mill Road has a South American wine night. That's on the 1st of July, with wines from Argentina, Chile, Uruguay, and the food includes lime-cured prawns, Cornish sole, and seared tuna. That's £75. And on the 8th of August, there's an evening called Summer Wines for Summer Nights, with wines from Portugal, Greece, Spain, and Piedmont. The food will include Portland crab and sea bass, and that one costs £85, and booking for it opens soon.
Hidden by Poudini's next supper club in Willingham is on the 4th of July.
Wonky Kitchens will be back at the Cambridge Blue from the 14th of July.
The Checkers in Foulmere has a pop-up dining night with Chicken Duck and Friends on the 15th of July, and that's £70. And there's also a £45 wine flight available. The menu includes confit duck leg, pan-fried duck breast, and, listen to this, a dessert of chicken fat tartatin with cornflake ice cream. Yeah.
Could you do that?
Yeah.
Could you eat that?
I could.
The Cherry Pit in King Street, Cambridge House Collective, is playing on the 19th of July from 1 to 4pm. Entry is free and it's open to music lovers and pie enthusiasts of all ages.
And in Congratulations Corners today, many familiar faces, including Cambridge Juice Company, which has been named as the Entrepreneurship Family Business of the Year. The Maypole Pub has won the Cambridge Camera Dark Ale Award. And among the winners at the Velvet Magazine Food and Drink Awards were Tea Room Coffee Shop Prosper in Ely, Farm Shop Deli The Larder at Burwash, Food Producer Mucker, Beverage Producer Change Coffee Roasters, The Pop-Up was Molino Pasta, Restaurant Finboys, Hotel University Arms Hotel, Pub, The Snug at St. Ives, Hospitality, L Events, Sustainability, Flourish Produce, Chef, Sam Carter, Restaurant 22, Food and Drink Hero, Flavour.
Hey. And on Thursday this week, we said goodbye to Harvey's Coffee House off West Road. It will be missed by a lot of people, and we look forward to Michael starting up a new venture in the future.
Yes, we will. He's got such a following. Apricots, we've mentioned them twice in our news section today, and it looks like being a good year for local ones. So let's go back to 2017 when Nazima Pathan advised on ways of using the apricot in our cooking.
When it's really ripe, it's a really floral, sweet and sour. And sweet and sour is something that comes out very strong. You know, you can imagine that it is a fruit that as it gets more ripe, it just has such a fantastic floral flavour. Apart from eating it raw, a lot of people feel that it gains even better flavour when it's cooked. So you can bake it, oven bake it, grill it, Even on the barbecue, I've done that before. Poach it, stew it with different herbs, which we'll talk about. And it's just brings out even more of that flavour of it. Now, there's certain things that you can add to really enhance it. Now, vanilla works well with apricot, and particularly, for example, just a simple combination would be grilling or barbecuing some apricots and serving it with a vanilla ice cream or a creme anglaise, so the hot and cold, as well as the really nice flavour combinations. Cinnamon also would be a good thing. You could either sprinkle it on some baked apricots, but it's a bit more wintry, or add a stick of cinnamon when you poach apricots. Going slightly Middle Eastern, it's prominent in North African cuisine. It'll be very present in tagines, for example, particularly with lamb. Some people cook it with pork, but that's not really Middle Eastern, but pork with apricot is another sort of meat and fruit combination. But in terms of tagines, the combination of apricot with cumin is another really good one. The woody flavour of the cumin, and it's a spice I really love, works very well with apricot, and it's an important component within Moroccan tagine mix. So that's something that people will really like. It's a great combination. Other unusual combinations, dairy. So it goes well with dairy, particularly goat cheese and hard cheese. And sweetness of the fruit will determine what it might go better with. So obviously the sweeter it is, perhaps you can then use stronger flavoured, deeper flavoured cheeses like camembert, for example. In a similar way to the way you'd have figs or grapes on a cheese board, apricots would also work really well.
That's not something you see very often.
No, it's a similar kind of flavour in terms of the floral nature, and it will withstand a strong cheese flavour, so I think it would be really nice. Or even like an apricot conserve. And in fact, there's somewhere I read where actually people are putting a little bit of cumin into an apricot conserve and then serving that with camembert cheese, for example. So I've never tried it, but I think I love cumin, and a little tiny bit of it can really enhance a dish.
Yes.
So that's another thought. So and then finally, chocolate. I mean, dark chocolate works particularly well. The bitterness of the dark chocolate and the freshness of apricot fruit. And of course, you know, apricot jam is widely used in baking. So particularly, for example, in Sacher Tort, the classic chocolate, dark chocolate cake, the layers are held together with apricot jam, and often used in many things for glazing fruit. So
yeah.
a very versatile fruit. Not as widely popular as peaches and nectarines, but actually very versatile, both raw and cooked, or even dried.
I don't think that they're as reliable as peaches and nectarines when you buy them. I think
they might not have the flavour.
Often they don't have the sweetness. Yes. But as you said near the start of that, if you cook them, they are just enhanced. I mean,
yes,
this is something that Nigel Slater talks about.
Yes.
However disappointing your apricots once you've cooked them, they will be fantastic.
Yes. Well, it's similar with drying it. It's almost like a dried apricot, but is enhanced both in sweetness and sourness. It's almost like a sort of... That's why it makes such a good snack, in a way, doesn't it? I mean, it's...
Well, they are delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So thank you, Nazima Pathan, for those suggestions. And the very talented, multi-talented Nazima has two novels out, which you can find the details of online.
There's Supercharge with Wine, 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 taking us into our wine news. And we begin with the Cambridge Wine Merchants and their annual Summer Wine Fair on the 3rd of July at Westminster College in Maddingley Road. That's from 5 till 9 p.m. More than 100 wines are going to be available to sample. Food is also there, though it's not included in the ticket price. The cost for the ticket is £30, and you can get a ticket online or from one of their shops.
Grape Britannia has a tasting on the 9th of July with Henry Rymill from Simpson's Wine Estate. Tickets are £30 and the tasting runs from 7:30 till 9:30. And on the 23rd of July, a very unusual and really rather fun event at Grape Britannia, wine and crisp matching. What's the best wine to have with what crisps? That's £25 and the crisps will be provided. And I wondered about Sue mentioning truffle crisps on our programme last. I wonder if they'll feature truffle crisps.
It really does sound like a fun evening, though.
Yeah.
At the Wine Rooms in Hills Road on the 23rd of July, there is a tasting called Three Rivers of France that features wines from the Loire, the Rhone and the Garonne. And it runs from 7pm to 8:45 at a cost of £30.
Cambridge Wine Merchants has a tour of Spain in its Cherry Hinton Road branch on the 6th of August, hosted by Steve Hovington, and the cost is £35.
Good old Steve. He does get about, doesn't he?
He certainly does.
On a recent edition of Home, Cambridge Radio's Drive Time show, Steffi Callister spoke to Becky Burrell, the Director of Operations and Development for the upcoming Food and Drink Week. So here is Steffi.
Tell us a bit more about Cambridge Foodies Festival.
I work for Cambridge Bid Business Improvement District, and we are running a Cambridge Food and Drink Week alongside the Foodie Festival. So the Foodie Festival is a separate event that's taking place on Parker's Peace, but we're running the Food and Drink Week, which shoulders the festival the week before and the week after. It's a way of us celebrating the fantastic food and drink offer that the city has, encouraging people to explore venues that they might not necessarily go to. We've got lots of events going on. We're working with various venues to hold different events. There's about 40 different bars, restaurants, cafes taking place during the festival. We've got trails to give people ideas of where to go. There's a cocktail trail. There'll be an independent eatery trail and a sweet treat trail. That's quite difficult to say. And we've also got what we're calling a food and drink postcard. So basically, if you collect a stamp from three different venues with a different offer on, you can then post your completed card on Instagram, and if you tag us, you might win a £200 Love Cambridge gift card.
Wow, that cocktail trail sounds rather dangerous. Yes, tell us a bit more about what sorts of food people can enjoy.
We've got a variety of restaurants taking place have got some kind of offer on or a special menu. For example, Permit Rooms are doing a Jowdy Bite menu. We've got Cambridge Wine Merchants doing a deal with Get a Glass of Wine and some sort of bread and cheese. There's a deal on at Byron's Burger. There's all sorts going on. The best thing to do, really, is head to the Love Cambridge website, and it's all there laid out in front of you, and you can sort of plan your trips during the two-week period.
If someone is attending for the first time, what would you recommend they do?
So on Saturday the 5th of June, a pop-up mocktail bar in Lion Yard, giving away free mocktails. And there's a lovely little seating area, so you can sort of grab a mocktail, chill out, and enjoy that. We've also working with Kibu, and they're doing a very special sounding tuna event. That's on the 10th of July. So it's a bluefin tuna ceremony. So that looks amazing. It's a very exclusive event. I think they're only selling 30 tickets. And then one of my personal favourites, Permit Room, the Bombay breakfast, is happening for the first week of the Food and Drink Week, and their breakfasts are quite incredible.
So finally, remind us where and when, and do you need tickets?
No, so each individual restaurant may require a booking. The Food and Drink Week is from the 28th of June until the 11th of July. Definitely look at the website to get some ideas and take it from there.
Becky, thank you for joining us on Cambridge Radio.
Pleasure.
And that was Becky Burrell of BID, the Business Improvement District. So Cambridge BID are pretty busy. They're running the Cambridge Food and Drink Week, which is actually a fortnight. It starts today. It runs till the 11th of July.
And all the places involved, well, some of the places involved have special discounts, we believe, such as De Luca Cucina on Regent Street. They're offering 20% off of their menu. Saw that on X today.
Right, that's very good. And in the middle of it all, i.e. next weekend, on Parker's Peace, is the Cambridge Foodie Festival. So this is a great fortnight for eating.
Certainly is.
And drinking.
And there's our familiar music signalling time for news from social media.
Yeah, we featured Fredericks by the River earlier, and they've announced that they've got a new sandwich, and this one is on ciabatta. It's got tomato, mozzarella, spinach and pesto, and the photograph of it just looks jolly nice. We talked about croissants before, and will be in a few minutes as well. And there's a new head pastry chef at Stir called Arthur, and he's moved from France to England. And it says that Arthur's already putting his stamp on our pastries. Croissants are a matter of national pride, he says, and you can taste the passion in every flaky, buttery bite. So I shall look forward to trying one of their croissants as well. Though I think you have to get them early in the day, you know.
know. I think Cambridge Cookery only had their croissants on the shelves for, or on the counter for, up for 2 hours, because they deteriorate, they lose their quality.
Yes.
So it's a matter of getting them early. Provenance Kitchen has been on social media, and they are running a whole beast feast lamb series, celebrating the whole lamb in a bold, flavour-packed dining experience that honours every cut, and it's cooked over open flames. So it's not just Parker's Tavern that you can get the whole animal. And it's happening on the Thursday, the 10th of July, from 6 till 10.30 at Provenance Kitchen, and it's £70 per person, and you can book now. The Petersfield in Sturton Street, is Petersfield, or Hooper Street, I can't remember. Anyway,
Hooper Street.
Right. It's extending its summer menu until the end of August. That's two courses for £18 and three courses for £22. Sounds jolly good. And a little further ahead, on the 27th of September, at Cambridge Cookery, Angus Burditt is having a cheese and wine evening where he'll be talking about A Portrait of British Cheese, his book, along sampling an exceptional range of artisan cheeses and wines curated by himself and Tina Roche of Cambridge Cookery. So there's quite a lot of social media news. Right, we've got... I think we're getting a bit obsessed with croissants, but let's get it out of our system. In today's Feast magazine that comes with The Guardian, Felicity Cloak is reviewing supermarket croissants, which I must say I don't eat, but it's interesting to see what she says. The best, she reckons, is the Marks & Spencer all-butter croissant, which are £1.30 each. She says they have shatteringly crisp ends, lovely damp elastic crumb, and a savoury, even salty flavour. It doesn't taste French, but it is delicious.
What's elastic crumb?
They pull slightly. They're certainly not crisp. They're slightly pully.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm gesticulating, which is not a good idea on radio to try and explain through a gesticulation. But anyway, which else, other ones do well? The Waitrose All Butter Croissant at 1.30 each gets 4 stars. Did I say the Marks & Spencer gets 5? I don't think I did. ones to avoid. Tesco All Butter Croissant isn't one to avoid. That gets 4 stars as well. £1.75 for two. This has a spray tan worthy of Love Island. And although it has lost its definition in the oven, a few layers are evident on the outside, etc. But one to avoid is Tesco's Saint-Pierre croissants. Lovely French name, but obviously not a lovely French-styled croissant. No layers, just soft, chewy dough with a weirdly caramelised flavour. Tastes long life, process and unpleasant. I don't get the point of these, sorry. So, of course, Felicity Cloak did her book, which we interviewed her about on Flavour a few years ago, One More Croissant for the Road, in which, as she says in the introduction to this article, I even wrote an entire book based around the idea of cycling around France rating croissants. So she knows her croissant, does Felicity Cloak. And her new book, Cycling Around America, Eating American Food, is out now. Maybe we ought to talk to her. Anyway, what else is in Feast? Have we got much time left, Mars?
We've got about a minute and a half, but I would like to mention, if you like cycling around Cambridge, they do really nice croissants at Alina's Bakery Stall on the Market. We featured her a few episodes ago, and she does lots of sweet and savoury croissants.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amongst other things.
I disapprove of savoury croissants, but we'll leave that to another time. Right, also in Feast magazine, what was I looking at before and salivating over? Again, something not for radio. Summer Pudding Tray Bake from Nicola Lamb, which just looks fantastic. And there's also a jammy shortbread tart, and they just both celebrate the berry season, which is upon us. And finally, we are running out of time, Bubble Tea Ice Cream Sundaes, in which you make your own Bubble Tea Ice Cream Sundaes. That's from Benjamina Ebui. Yeah, all look lovely. They're in today's Feast magazine.
There's Green Onion signalling the start of our job section, and we begin with the Eclipse Bakehouse in Fenstanton. They need a head pastry chef. This is a full-time position for which the successful candidate will have had experience as a pastry chef or a head pastry chef and will be familiar with making pastries and petit gâteaux, be competent with chocolate work and with managing a team. Salary for this is between 35 and 40k, so to apply, just send your CV to dansmith.dolcido@gmail.com.
Flourish in Hildesheim is still looking for a person to deliver their produce boxes from 5am or earlier on Fridays. Get in touch by emailing office@flourishproduce.co.uk.
Bald Brothers is looking for team members, and you can contact them via social media or maybe just pop into one of their coffee shops.
And finally, Noshi in Mill Road wants several people: an assistant manager, a waiter stroke front of house, a kitchen porter, and a delivery person. Send your CV to Noshi, that's N-O-S-H-E, noshicambridge@gmail.com.
And that takes us to the end of our programme for today. Don't forget, we're here on alternate Saturdays at 12 noon, repeated on Mondays at 2 p.m, and we're also available as a podcast from all the usual places. Coming up next on Cambridge Radio is The Music Mix, followed by Home with Lucy Milazzo.
We'll be back on the 12th of July with lots more. But until then, from me and Matt, goodbye.
Goodbye.
And out with me, Miss Private, and we'll sail around the world. I will be off Adamant and you my wayward girl. Many nights of talking in no towns can you take? How many nights of limping round on pagan holidays? Oh, elope with me in private and we'll set something ablaze. A trail for the devil to erase. San Francisco's calling us, the Giants and Mets will play. Piazza, New York, catch your eye, you straight or are you gay? We hung about the stadium, we got no place to stay. We hung about the Tenderloin, and tenderly you tell about the saddest book you ever read. It always makes you cry, the statue's crying too, and Willie May. I love you, I have a drowning grip on your adoring face. I love you, my responsibility has found a place. Beside you in strong warnings in the guise of gentle words. Come wave upon me from the family, why the net absurd? You'll take care of her. I'm